Becerra, and then we'll start now. Yes, I have like 42 and he has like 3,000. What? Oh, wow. Okay, so we're going to deal with two issues that people asked me to talk about. I only see one of those people here, but that's okay, Matthew. So I want to deal with one test case, which hits on two issues in PSOC. One is how post-skim deal with the... deal with the issue of basically Ashkenazim and Sephardim living in the same reality when they really have different halachic positions, and what you do about that fact, how you deal with that, which is, you know, a sort of new phenomenon, considering that the reason Ashkenaz and Sephardim developed as separate menhagim was because they lived in separate places, right? And it's only because of this sort of anomalous thing that people, for whatever reason, and we talked about this earlier in the year, believe that you are continuously bound by minhag Ashkenaz and minhag Sephard, which we already discussed the problems with this halachically, whether this is true and what exactly it would mean. But because people continue to act as if they still lived in Ashkenaz and Sephard, regardless of why they think that's halachically binding, we have an anomalous halachic situation which never existed before. If people are interested in minhagim, Baruch Weintraub just started a series on KMTT on Perek Makom Shenagu B'Iyun, going through the nature of minhag, like Al HaSeder, the whole Perek. I listened to the first one on Friday. What?
KMTT is still alive.
It is still around, and they have good series. Last semester, also another one which was very good on methodology of PSOC was Udi's 25 part series on PSOC in the army. It was also very, very good. These are very good series. They're all, each year is 25, 27 minutes. It's very, very good. Anyways, so that's point one we're going to touch on. And point two we're going to touch on is what Matthew asked me last night, which was talk a little bit about how poskim deal with the nature of sveikos and sex sveika and stuff like that within Klalei Psak. So I figured I'd take an example that would cover both, because we're really, really short here in terms of how much time we have left to the year. After next week, I think most people are gone. So next week, I promised we'd talk about partnership minyanim. We will do that Matai Shur next week. But I think Rabbi Blau has this time slot. So we'll have to... That one, Dafka, I don't want to have a conflict with Rabbi Blau on. So we'll figure it out. Maybe Sunday, maybe... Who knows? I'll figure it out. Look at the schedule.
We're going to continue with people who are still left? Or?
After that, we'll continue with people who are left. But I promised I'd get to that. So I'll get to it before people leave. And then... We'll do whatever people want until the end of the year. Maybe we'll start thinking about the other methodological issues that I wanted to get to, which was the role of, you know, Balabatim and Psak and that perspective. But I hadn't really thought about those issues enough to write a series. I need the summer to think about them. Anyways, so back to our issue. Okay. And also this relates to what Joseph was asking me before, Bishul Akum, but we can talk more about this later. Okay. So the issue we're going to talk about is Bishul Akum. Now, this is a problem because... Does anyone know the probably most far-reaching central machlokas in Bishul Akum between Ashkenazim and Sephardim?
What constitutes Bishul?
And what? How much of the Bishul the Jew has to be involved in?
Right, exactly. It's how much the Jew has to be involved in, right? I don't know if that's what you meant, but okay, fine. So if you look, so in the first source is Simon Kofiud Beis Sif Tes. This is about Pas Akum. So Pas Akum... We pass in the Hiddik Akochav, Ovi Kochav Matanur of Afabo Yisrael. If the non-Jew lit the flame and the non-Jew, and the Jew baked, or she Hiddik Yisrael of Afabo Yisrael, or the Jew baked, the Jew lit the fire, and the non-Jew baked it, or she Hiddik Akochav Afabo Yisrael of Yisrael of Nira Eshmaad, or even if the non-Jew lit the flame, baked it, and the Jew only moved the fire around, or is a mutter, it's mutter. Even if he just threw in one little splinter of wood, it's mutter. Because for pas akum, the only thing you need to do to transform it from pas akum to pas yisrael is to have some participation of a Jew, you need a heker. Okay? Now, Pashtus in the Gemara is that this is not true for Bishul. Right? If you go through the sugars, in Bishul, it sounds like it actually needs to be cooked by a Jew. Right? It sounds like you cannot rely on the same Hatirim that you do by Afia. Despite that, why are they different? Because Afia is more Makil, because the same reason that that Pas has the middle category of Pas Palter, right? Because it's more Makil. Why is it more Makil? Because Chayin Efesh, because bread is a staple, so Chazal were more Makil. That's how the Gemara says it, okay? So Pas is more Makil. But Bishul, it's a difficult read in this, so yes, to equate Bishul and Pas. Despite that fact, it is Minag Ashkenaz, as recorded by the Ramah, to equate Pas and Bishul, that the same standards that you rely on for Pas, you can rely on for Bishul. Now, this way predates the Ramah. It originates in a sort of obscure Sefer called the Sefer Minhagim Bein Chilukei HaMinhagim Bein Eretz Yisrael Bavel, which is a record of basically the different Minhagim going on in the time of the Gaonim. And there, the Minhag Ashkenaz is recorded that Pas and Bishul are equivalent. So if you look at the next source, this is Shulchan Aruch, and you see that machlokes plays itself out as a machlokes Shulchan Aruch on the Ramah, where it says, he's the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Ein Ashkira, Perish Havara, Virah Jego, Vitargo, and Vion Shigrin, right? Simply lighting the flame, Atanur, well, Elabit Pot, it only works by bread. But by food, by cooking, throwing in a little bit of fire doesn't work. You have to actually be the person who puts the food in the flame. Right? You have to put the pot on the stove, you have to put the dish in the oven, and that's it.
You had a question, sir?
Yeah, I think there's also
a shoot around. The Minag Ashkenaz, starting there, I mean, Tosfos already quotes this. I'm saying it's the Ramah, if we were going through the whole Sugya of Bishul Akum, yes, it starts with that, and it's in Tosfos, it's both in the French Rishonim and the German Rishonim, right? I mean, the Ramah is recording the long Minag Ashkenaz of the Balei Tosfos. It's not, you know, it's not like the Sefer Arach, Tosfos quotes the Sefer Achilukim Bain, Minag Eretz Yisrael, Minag, right? But yeah, it sounds right that it's also a Maharam. So if you want to rely on Bishul Akum, if you want something not to be Bishul Akum, then the Jew has to at least put it into the flame. You have to actually put it where it can cook. The Ramah says, "Agav yish cholkin." And here he quotes it from the Gosher Edura and from the Aruch and the Mordechai. Right, again, it makes sense that in Marmirenberg, Mordechai is a Talmud, right? The three main Talmudim that we know, like, that we are mityaches to of the Marmirenberg are. Exactly, right? Rosh, Mordechai, Agos, Maimonides, right? The three Ashkenazim who write on the Svardim, right? That they attach their works to Svardi works, right? The Rosh and the Mordechai are both attached to the Rif, and Agos, Maimonides obviously attached to the Rambam. And even stirring it up without kavana will help. And then the Ramah comes up with his very, very Mekel Shita. This is from the Maharam, right? From the Isra Beheter quoting Maharam, which is that not only if the Jew throws in the Kisem, but even Eish Me Eish, right? Even if a non-Jew lights the flame from a flame that a Jew lit, it's enough. This is the Hetzer that we known as pilot lights. Right? Pilot lights. Where does a pilot light come from? The Hetzer of a pilot light to remove Bishul Akum. The Ramah. Right? I mean, didn't start with the Ramah, but the Ramah, Minag Ramah. So now, problem is if you're living in, 500 years ago, and Svardim live in Svard. And Ashkenazim live in, well, not Ashkenaz, but Ashkenazim live in whatever. They live in Russia and Poland and whatever, and sometimes in Germany also. So then, how often does a Svardi encounter
an Ashkenazi.
Never.
I mean, once in a while, Pope Visham. Right, but it's not like it happens so, so often, right, that you have to rely on them. Right? But comes the 20th century, and everyone starts moving to America and Israel, and pitom, what happens? Right! Right, Ashkenazim open good restaurants with nice, good Ashkenazi food, like pizza, which is clearly an old minhag Ashkenaz back, you know, dating back to the, whatever, 1100s or something. What? Yeah, exactly. It's recorded there too, right? And all types of Ashkenazi foods, and you know, Sfardim want to eat there. Elamai.
They can't
because, you know, not all of these restaurants have only Jews working there. Now, what does the good from Ashkenazi do? He has a pilot light. He likes the pilot light, and mikan veilach. The non-Jew can do whatever he wants. He can light the flame, he can put the food in the oven, he can put it on the stove, he can do whatever he wants, right? Ve'ein shum baya, right? If you're smarty, right, what do you need to do? You need to hire a Jew to do every step, right, to be involved in the cooking process and be the only person who puts things on the flame. So this is a problem. Right, so what do you do? Right, what do you do when suddenly, right, you know, if we want to talk about sociological changes, so the ones we've talked about so far are mostly how you deal with non-religious Jews, right? Because that was a big change in the 19th century. Now, we're dealing with a different question. How do you deal with religious Jews who systematically have different minhagim of psak? Right, this is a, right, you know, basically, right, Sfardim are now face, in general, the problem that Ashkenazim faced in Israel on Pesach, right? Ashkenazim on Pesach have the problem that everything is kidney out. Everything is kidney out. And it's really annoying, right? Sfardim have the slightly more problematic issue that everything is treif, right? This is a problem, right? Because we paskin, like the Reza Mechogas Rajba and Ra'ah, we paskin lechumra, like the Rajba, that not only does Bishul Akum make the food you're eating treif, but it treifs of kelim. So not only, right, is it usher for the Sephardi to eat the food which was not cooked by a Jew, it wouldn't even help him to ask the owner of the restaurant that when he's going to eat, can you make sure that a Jew puts it on the flame? Because if a non-Jew had put it on in the last 24 hours, the food is treif, mida abanan. So this is a very serious problem. So, this was the problem that was posed, kamufan, to Chacham Uvadia Yosef. Okay? So, he actually also deals with it in Tshuva before, Yechavadas, Chelek, Hey, Simen Nun Gimel, but he does it as well here in Simen Nadal. So let's see what he does. And what we're going to see here again is a combination of the classic methodologies of Rabbi Ovadia's Psak combined with a very clear, right, sort of external pressure pushing, right? We've talked in the past both about Rabbi Ovadia's methods. Now, Rabbi Ovadia's methods, if I had to define Rabbi Ovadia's methods, right, what were the different things that Rabbi Ovadia was known for? You remember from our Rabbi Ovadia share?
Quote all the sources and then possibly make the Beit.
Unless he disagrees with the Beit. Right. Right. But one is B'derech Kal, fasting like Maran, right? L'hachzir Atera Liyoshna. Another methodology was to quote all the Shitas often to find kulos to make halacha more livable. Right, those are, right? There's a tendency of Rabbi Ovadia. He also eliminates Kabbalah, right? We know that, but that's not really relevant for today. We've seen that before in Rabbi Ovadia, right? These are all methodologies of Rabbi Ovadia's Psak, right? Now, what's the problem here, right? Right off the bat, from Rabbi Ovadia's Psak, right? What is the problem?
Livability and Maran are not compatible.
Right? Livability, Kula, and Maran don't work here, right? They are in contradiction. So now, we talked at a different point this year about a category in Psak called Psikar al Chavishar Atzak. What is Psikar al Chavishar Atzak?
You rely on the wrong opinion.
Well, not wrong, but you rely on the not usually accepted opinion because under certain circumstances, certain external factors are legitimate reasons to rely on shitas that are less likely halachically. Right? So, right, this is Rav Ovadia's chance where he has a clear shasat chak, right? Because he has a shasat chak if he thinks there's a value, which he does, to making halacha livable, right? To making things easier for people who want to live in a state where there are a lot of Ashkenazim around, right? Mitzachini, right, that goes against his normal conviction that what is right, whatever Maran says. Right? So what did Rav Avadya do? So, Sheila. Batei malon u'mesadot shebehem yesh mashkiach al hakashrut mitam harabanut harashit hamekomit. A restaurant, a hotel, has a mashkiach from the rabanut. V'yesh lam tudat kashrut. And they have a hechsher. B'ra matabach shem ha'chel et ha'tavshilim kamot elu hu aravi. But the cook is an Arab. Ela she'asakar ha'eshel shel tanri ha'bishu v'afiyah nasel al yedei Yisrael. But the oven is turned on by a Jew. Shul mashkiach al hakashrut. He's a mashkiach. Ha'im mutar l'chol ha'mitpashlim elu l'lo chshash isr b'shul ha'gayim. So are you allowed to eat it? So, first he summarizes the sugya. And he says, Shuva. Haran b'perek beiz avod zara katav. She'eskim ratin harishonim. She'afel pishu b'din pat akum im hisik Yisrael et ha'tanur v'afa bo ha'goy. Et ha'pat ha'pat muteret mikom ha'kom b'tav shel tzarek she'Yisrael. He's really like the Rala Ish. The Ran says that even though by pass, you are allowed to rely on this type of heter of just throwing in a flame, you can't buy Bishel. And if you're asking where it came from the Gemara, is this Gemara? I didn't give you all the sources because Rav Avadya outlines everything for you. I left that part of the Tshuva in, even though I cut out some other things, right? Mutter. The Gemara is a case there of a Jew who puts the meat on the flames, and then a guy turns and flips it over. So the Gemara there has different discussions of what happens, when is it mutter? But it never mentions this possibility, right? It explicitly says it works by pas, but all the cases by bishul, the Gemara has other cases where you're actually being involved, you're actually, right? And the Gemara says, well, right, even as a halamina to say that it's problematic, if a Jew put it on the flame and then a non-Jew stirs it, right? We paskin not because we say, no, the Jew is still cooking it. But you see that the standards are much higher. In Bishel, is obviously, in pas, it obviously isn't a problem because by pas, all you need is a Jew to do anything. Right? And here, even put it on. The fact that by Bishel, we can even have a halamina shows that you need a higher level of involvement of the Jew. Imidav rezeh shum safik klal. By the way, Joseph, for your looking for heterim, here's a good way of learning the sugya. And the good summary here is ein v'davar zeshum tzavik. Anyways, v'zechein dada Rashba, v'chein dada v'shirivash, v'shikein iskimu kol mafarshamayin. V'chein kaz Rabbeinu Yonah, v'gerda tshuva, v'hu v'be Yosef. Aval haravan. But Ravan, again, he could have picked anybody, right? The Germans, right? Paskin, v'amordechai. It works. Take it down. Very simple. So what's his conclusion of what the halakha should be in theory? It's very straight. Machlokes, Ashkenaz, Svard, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah. How should he paskin? Svard, Maran, Zil. V'chein pasak apri chadash. U'v'sefer miskera shulchan. V'chein ha'ala b'ziv chay tzedek. V'zu l'shono. Ezra. You remember, you know Ellie Shobi, right? So when we did Bishul Akum that year in Clapper, Ellie was in the kollel. You can imagine the fun we had with that one. Ellie Shobi is a very, very, very proud Sfaradi. To the point where he told me the Ramban was not a Sfaradi. I know, no, he is. Yes, but he thinks that's the only Sfaradi. He told me very, very comfortably that the Ramban and the Shulchan Aruch were not really Sfaradim, right? It was only Ilfas, Ibn Megaz. This is Rimi Gash, for those of you Ashkenazim, right? Exactly, it's only from Andalusia. So, this is a fun year in the Kollel, considering we were doing Bishul Akum, which meant that, you know, there were all of us in the room were Ashkenazim. And then he insisted that we could not, that we were all violating halacha mikra din, because we were trying to justify ourselves based on the Ramah, Rahmana, let's alone
Well,
it's
better Ramah than
like, oh, God, no. Yeah. Yeah, I remember we had this whole argument. It took me a long time to figure out who Ibn Megaz was. It took me a bit. I was like, Ibn Megaz. Who's he talking? I'm like, oh, the Rimi Gash.
I love that he was like, oh, this is
some
Bakhti Ibn Bakuda. I'm waiting for him to figure out the
Bakhti Ibn Bakuda. Yeah, exactly. I love it. Like, he's wonderful. It was so much fun, though. It was like, I had never encountered this, like, oh, very good. He's wonderful. Yeah, okay. But just to give you an idea, right? This is the same person who, when I was learning Yerideya, he was also learning Yerideya. But when I asked him what he was learning, he told me he was learning Hilchot Ma'achalot Asirot in the Rambam. I was like, okay, fine. But then I show no. Ulididan v'nei Sfaradim einanu ela divrei Maran shekibal lehoraatav v'adakar ha'eja v'achar kiseim v'kol shekin chidu v'gechalim ein v'hem t'alet klal v'nu v'shul ha'goyim v'v'midavar asur. I cut out most of the dot, dot, dots, as you can imagine. I assure you, it's all those people. Okay, fine. Now, V'chein Katav, I highlighted this for a reason, not by accident, V'shut Tuvot Shemesh. We'll get back to it. Who is the Tuvot Shemesh? Rav Shalom Masas. Who is? The God that loved thee? Moroccans. His several volume Tuvot Sefer, which is more famous than the Tuvot Shemesh, is the Shemesh Umagain, and who is he Magain against?
Against
Chacham Ovadia, right? Because he didn't like that Ovadia was trying to overturn the Moroccan, right? The Minhage Edut HaMizrach. So we will get back to Rav Shalom Masas. Yeah, his cousin. Yosef Hamatir.
Oh, yeah.
Yosef Masas. Yosef Masas. Yosef Hamatir. Yes, those are the weirdest. He was. Mark Shapiro has an article on him. He loves Yosef Masas. He loves him. He's like, this is what I'm supposed to be like. Yosef Masas is the weirdest Chuvos ever. It's like, Yosef Masas has these kulos that are incredible. He's become very popular because he has a piece. Do you see the women? No, he thinks that women don't have to cover their hair. Fine. No, he has this piece about women wearing tefillin, which has been quoted. I actually don't know what to do with it. Did you read that? They also didn't like his Erev Chuva, where he, whatever. Heirs don't exist. Yeah, he has a lot of interesting shitas, but they called him Yosef HaMatir. Well, it's not very complimentary. Rav Ovadia's actual comment about him is, while I don't rely on anything that he paskins, he's not pasul le'idus. This is, in fact, a line in Rav Ovadia's tshuvos. No, his best is this piece about women wearing tefillin, where he records a minhag that he heard of, that women would wear tefillin and daven with a sefer Torah. But the context goes like this. There were these Nashim Tzidkaniyos in whatever it was, somewhere in Edut HaMizrach, who would wake up every day at 5:30 in the morning, and they would daven with tefillin and a Sefer Torah and whatever, so that they could get home in time to make their husband's coffee before they would go to shul. So people are confused by this piece, because it's like simultaneously quite chauvinistic, and also sort of, it's very chauvinistic, and simultaneously, what? I do. Actually, no. I printed out a copy, and I showed it to Schreiber, and he kept it because he wanted to have a copy of it. But I can find it. It's not such a big problem. The Firmer is quoted in their article. Okay. Fine. So he says, V'rak ben Ashkenaz ha-yotzim b'yad ramah. The Ashkenazim are allowed to. Yecholim ha-kel bozeh. Right? And this is right one way of dealing with Ashkenaz and Sfarad. And this is Rav Ovadia's way. Right? What's his methodology of dealing with Ashkenaz, Sfarad, Machlokes?
They can just do their own thing.
Anu b'didino v'hei. Right? Right? Us, we have our way, they have their way, right? We can't be cholek on the base. Yosef, because he's Yosef ha-mechune karo, de melech malche amlachim chafetz bikaro, right? V'ein lanu lozos, Moshe emes v'taraso emes is applied to the base Yosef, right? It's ein lanu lozos from his Torah, and v'chol ha-cholek alav k'cholek al hashchina, and all that, stuff. And the Ashkenazim can rely on the Ashkenazim, and they can do whatever they want, right? There are, unfortunate younger brothers, but, they can do whatever they want, right? That's basically his theory of life. And I told you before that, right, who responded to this methodology? It's Tzitzil Yasser,
who retorts with his own tshuva of, we followed the Rama, and anyone who's chalik on the Rama will have a house fall on him, and I knew a person who a house fell on him, and when he started paskening against the Rama, his oldest child died, and he held up till all his children had died, and da-da-da-da-da. And the same thing. That was really where he does Moshe Emes with Rasa Emes, but then it actually makes sense because it's Moshe Israelis. Okay, fine. Fine. V'hinei yadua ma shekotev maran achida b'sefer dvarim achadim shesfaradi shemekel kedad harama v'nigud lorat maran chayav la'asot tshuva v'kapara kivatinu kiblu alayim v'alzaram g'chol asher yomar maran b'sholchana v'tahor. V'chein katvu ora achronim v'ele sherabim v'asfaradim edu medrach mitachsenim v'vatim alon v'nechnasim l'masadot ומזדור ואוכלים שם בסמכם על תעודה לקשרות של הרבנות הראשית ואין איש שם על לב. But the problem is, in reality, what's happening? Sfaradim are eating at Rachmana Litzlan, Treif Ashkenazi establishment. Good. So, the first paragraph, we've seen classic methodology, how do Ashkenazim and Sfaradim deal with each other, right? Basically, this is pretty predictable. What do? We ignore each other, right? We do our own thing. Right, we admit that the other one has a good Misera, and we let everyone paskin and go their merry way. You know, sometimes people overstep their bounds a little bit and make Rav Avadia angry by claiming that Sephardi women are also allowed to make brachos and mitzvahs on grandma. You know, it's just the Yezer paskin that way. Rav Avadia was not happy, right? His response being, Hagam lichbosh es amalka imi babayit, right? Fine. But now, the other methodological assumption of Rav Avadia kicks in, which is? Right, Pesach has to work, Pesach has, we have to be Mamet's clothes, we have to be Mekel, when Halacha makes life impossible. And what methodology does he use to come up with Kulas? Svek Sveika. So here we go. Video of Mamet's clothes on Halacha and Halacha with Avar, but I can come up with a Kula. Kine. Tosvos Kosvil, Vomer. So now he brings in a head there from Rav Avram ben David, which maybe miscited, but otherwise it'd be the Ravid, but it's not clear it's actually the Ravid, but that's okay. Shem ha'goyim v'ashel v'veito shel Yisrael, mutar. That if the cooking happens in the Jew's house, it's mutar. Kivan she'in l'chush b'zeh l'mishum chadut v'lo mishum shem yachlenu dvarim t'meim. Because there's a machlokes we've shown him. Why is bishel akam aser? So it's a machlokes. Either chasnos, right, or chatnut, right, either because of chashash of intermarriage, right, or Shem Yachilenu Dvarim Tmeim, or he might feed you treif. Now, it may be that chasnos doesn't really mean intermarriage, it means that it's usher to socialize, right? Which is what the Rambam explicitly says in the Beis Mishnayos, and it's probably what Rashi says also. But fine. So the Ravid is cited as saying that the real reason is chasnos, and if it's chasnos, so if you cook in the Jew's house, so there's no problem of chasnus. There also is not a problem of shemay achlenu dvaram tmeim. V'lahodu lo Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam argues shekemesh anachem avash lo kil chacham klal being chosen b'toch rishon Yisrael or should goy shelahodu v'nishlok shemay gam b'Yisrael lo yizaru mimenu kamo veito shel goy. And Rabbeinu Tam argues that it's usher. And this version of Rabbeinu Tam argues because it sounds like shemay achlenu dvar tamei. But again, within the Balei Tosfos, it's not clear which one they hold. I can have a discussion with you later about what happened in the Balei Tosfos. I have a whole theory of what happened in the Balei Tosfos because it's very, very messy, right? Because Tosfos Nevo Tzar is one of the latest Tosfos in, so it's very hard. There's about 17 Meseros recorded in it, so you have to look at the early Balei Tosfos to figure out what happened. But anyway, the Tosfos Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yitzchak mi Berena, Katav Shara Rabbeinu Avraham min Ahar, Ben Arim na Yom Tov, Hayim Atir Levashel al Yedei Goy Vei Tosfos Yisrael Afilu Belo Chitui, Shem Yisrael Lo Shai Chadnu Velo Odi Lo Benu Tam. Right here it explicitly says the reason you're allowed to cook in the Jew's house is because there's no chatnut, there's no chasnus when you're in a Jew's house. And again, Rabbeinu Tam is cholik. Unaki Yosef Katav, Rabbeinu Avram Dodo Shavit, Kabbalah Tosfos Shem Bishel Tav Shel Vei Tosfos Yisrael Mutar. Shem Lo Shavit Lo Shem Chadu Lo Shem Shem Echlen Varam Tamim. Rabbeinu Tam Amar Lo Plug Rabban and Ain Sham. Here, Rabbeinu Tam argues because of Lo Plug. We say Rabbeinu Tam Hadar Kavshan Noagam Lishmach Vli Avar Al Rasham Rav Yom Yerlins. Shepasku La Hatir Bishul Goy Vei Tosfos Yisrael Lekam Lechaz Lo Shem Chadu Lo Shem Lo Shem Echlen Varam Tamim Ain Sham. Umarana Beit Yosef Bivet Gabay Nevi Mashgal Rabbeinu Yocham Shiru La Poskim Miskir La Hatir Bishul Goy Vei Yisrael Vizig Alav Shadar Adar Poskim Nira Lachmir Shistamo Divrehem Velo Chil Kuvazeh.
Now we get to the important part for him. Who paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, that it is Asur Afil Beveitosha Israel? The answer is always going to be the same. Maran, right? Beit Yosef paskins. V'chein gada Maran Chaviv, paskins gada Lavek, v'shut b'aychai, l'tchot divrei Rabbeinu Yerucham, etc. Fine, Meiri, v'ish machleitin la'atir, kamashu gabim v'ashev v'beit Yisrael shalanu, v'nzer alek shu yosef b'beitosha, zeo kiruv da'ad gamor, v'lo yirakein el ha'beit Yisrael asur im ad kan. Right, so his conclusion is, but we don't paskin like it. Yes, it's a machlokes rishonim, but shochach, and here also the Ramah, by the way, paskins b'beit Yosef Yisrael, it is aser. Ulam. Ready la gona befail Berdugo Beseva Torah Ahmed, Yoradesh Katash with the Yaklashan Maran Shokanasukam, the Hopat Ogaim of the Avodah Zarah. And he quotes one shita. Who paskins that with Yishmaelim, with Muslims, there's no problem because they're not over the Avodah Zarah. And he points that the fact that by Yayin Nesech, there are kulas, right? It's not totally mutter, but we do lower the Yisurah. It's Azra B'shtia, but not B'hana'a. And he quotes that one shita held that Bishul Akam and Pazam is also mutter by Yishmaelim. Problem. Ach, midivrei kalaboskim, near she'en chilek bazeh bein ovdei zara l'Yishmaelim, v'cheinim min hakavashut. But the problem is this goes against all poskim. Now, parenthetically, not only does it go against all poskim, significantly, who never mentioned this kula? Well, Tosfos is not that significant. There's a reason Tosfos wouldn't mention it. What? No. Well, I mean, yes, but also all of the Svardim living in Svardi lands. Right? You would think that they would bring it around. Right? No one ever mentioned the kula. So it's not like the fact that Tosfos doesn't say it's not a chiddush, they weren't living like Yerushalayim. The fact that no Sephardi ever brought it up is a big deal because it means that they didn't hold of it. Right? Now, despite that fact, who, I didn't put him on the Makor sheet because this is a 10-page tshuva, but who, in a moment of very strangeness, claims that the deafening silence of poskim in Sephardi lands, in Muslim lands, does not prove that it's not mutter. And in fact, it is mutter if Yishmaelim do it. Yes. No. Even more surprising, Rav Amar, or Shlomo Amar, went against Rav Avadya and Baskin, that is mother. This is very strange. To solve, by the way, the same problem, right? The same methodological assumptions we can talk about, right? That halacha has to be livable, even again, is what explicitly drives Rav Amar to come up with that kula. That's a discussion in its own right, how we got to that kula. But Rav Avadya is going to be much more telling, because that chiddush and Rav Amar, I don't know what to do with. Because, again, Rav Avadya is right. Against everybody. We call Makom, call Kulod, Shimapos Kim, Alabishish, Kolkim, Arsene, Alakaka, Mekel, Gamakolks, Arvin Avram, Rabin of Dam, Vishal, Gavi, Israel, Sage, Lagel, Kenir, Lee, Vamich, Ain, Yukum, Krakal, right? He wants to be Mekel, he's wrong, Shahovat, right? He also wants to be Mekel like Rabin Avraham, right? No! Shahovat, Tama, Isra, Bishul, like I am, whom Shim Chad, no, Shim Yachlan, Vam, Tame, Kosh, Tosu, Versa, Rov, Shim Raj, Bishul, Raven, whom he ran Rivisham, Haresh, Nathan, Shayacham, Gam, Ishmaelim, Shayno of the Vodazara, right? Chasnos, which probably doesn't mean actual Vodazara, it means something like what you mean, the way the Rambam expresses it explicitly, that it means improper socialization with non Jews. And the problem of Shim Yachlan, Vam, Tame, and that all applies even by Muslims. Vamnam, Bishuvah, Zagon, Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz, and he said, someone once suggested it and said, no, I don't like it. And he said, look, even Karaites, who are not of the Avodah Zarah, they're just Jews, right? They're poskim who are Oser, like the Prichadash. I don't know what just happened, why the lights went off. However, the guy shirusachir etzleinu nireish mishmam lakel. But now he says, but our workers, there's a reason to be mega. Why? Ki yishu shadin shedanim otel ki din avadim ushachorak haknuyim lanu. because maybe you'll treat our paid workers as slaves. Shadad kama poskim lakel bahem. Because there's another group of poskim who weren't makel in a Jew's house, but were makel when the non-Jew working was the slave of the Jew. Right? Because then he's like the yad, he's, or there's no chasnas, there's different formulations of this in different Chuvas HaRashba. Right? Why would it be Mekiel? Because there's no kiruv dat. Is this true, by the way, factually? No kiruv dat with your servants and slaves.
No.
No. Great. How much evidence do we have that people consistently had affairs with their you know, non-Jewish shvachot? A lot, right? A heck of a lot of evidence that this was the case. I don't understand, right? No one understands quite the mitzvahs of this, right? There is clearly chasnos in every sense of the word. But okay, fine. I'm sorry, Matthew, I know, it's very sad, but it was true. We have plenty of evidence of this. The number of tshuvot we have of all of people who did this is astounding, right? You have to remember, there are countless tshuvos about all these horrible Arayos things. Like, they're all really bad. This is like the least bad you're going to find. Like, there's a tshuva which appears more than once in different centuries as to different people, which all have to do with somebody having a 10-year-long affair with his mother-in-law. And what do you do? There's a consistent trailer. It shows up in the Yehuda. It goes up in the Divrei Chaim. Both of them in Chelek Aleph, Tshuva, Lamed Hei. But for some reason, if you want to remember it. The Arayah shells are really bad, and they always want to know, what do I do with tshuva? Do I roll around in the snow? Do I have to tell my father-in-law? Things like that. So this should not... The fact that people were sleeping with their workers, like, gum in the 21st century of people who sleep with their secretaries. This is not like, right, this has happened. And while it's a bad thing, you know, like, this shouldn't shock you. What? Rahman al-Islam never happened. I mean, yes, Rahman al-Islam, but it does happen, yeah. Fine, we see. But the Rashba said, look, some people passing like this, we're machmir. Now, the Ramban is mekel in what type of worker? Slaves. Why? Because slaves are, we are actually responsible for them. They aren't allowed to work for us on Shabbos, meaning, right, we actually have certain mechuyot, and that makes sense, right? Is that true of our slaves? No, because we don't have slaves, right? Is it true of our workers? No, but let's back at that for a moment.
But even for Abadim, the fact that that we have responsibilities, or that they have Shabbos, it doesn't impact the questions of chasnas and
mezuzah. You would think. But formally, the Ramban claims that makes it as if it's our cooking. I don't know how they got there. But okay. The Ra is machmir. The Ra quotes one person who says that it's mutter because there's no care of that because they're doing it by force. But again, Marana Bet Yosef, if you tell the post, come on now. Kadav, Yeshmi Shimatir, Shvachot Shalana, Yeshmi Serafi, the Avad. Right, so he brings a machloket by Shvachot. Right, the Kadav Ramav, the Avad, Yeshlis Machal Matirim, Afilu Chatkil, Nagim, Lakel, Ve Israel, Shachot, Ve Vashlot, Ve Israel. Ki Ef Shar Zalichatem, Ma'ad, Echad, Menea, Bayet. The Ramav says we can be makel by our workers in our house, but because there is a presumption that the Jew was involved in the cooking process, which implies that it's mikra din usher, just we have an assumption that someone's walking around, but mikra din, we reject both kulos. However, katava shach, shenera on yirash, afil b'shmachot, eskorot, shenal yish lakel, avijin uzer meleim b'shabai, v'or b'orachayim, and yirash, zemach v'zal tad, rabin Abraham, shematir b'shulei goi v'vei Yisrael. The shach reinterprets the Ramah to be bringing back the heter shvachot, limaisa. Is that what the Ramah said, by the way? No, but the Shach brings back the Ravid into play
by assuming that's what the Rambam meant, even though the Rambam explicitly says that's not what he means. He quotes a different source entirely and a different reason. Pointed out correctly that our shvachot seem not to be the slaves of the time of that we're talking about the Rishonim, and therefore even if you were Mekel, you shouldn't be Mekel. He points out that the Achronim do equate them. Go Javid the Knesset Gedola. Ukvar Yadat Shabishal Debrim Alechacham Mekel. Gam Mechel Agon Rabbi Yosef Chaim Shur Rav Palam Shabbat Bishav Chadash Yechmir Bishav Adam Skarot Sheinanu Bishram Aleim Shabbat Mikol Makom Kivish Kam Gedolim Samchol Matirim Hol Mevishlov Bidei Israel Ein Limchok Minagim LaHakel. Now he comes to his conclusion. So we can be Mekel, but right? We don't really pask in this way, but we can be mitzvah of it that if a Jew lights the fire, and then the person, the non-Jew who's cooking it, is our worker. Maybe you're making by the case of cooking, when a Jew lights the flame. And even though Shulchan Aruch paskins against both of them, and even though the Ben Ish Chai paskins that you can't paskin against Maran, even if it's a Svek Sveika, v'chavitzu b'zeh katav ha-rav ha-gon ha-chazid mara, many b'zeh b'zechon ha-rel, ha-yau yoradeya, Svek Sveika, sh'azah rav ha-rav, ulam ha-gon rabbi Yosef Chaim ba'atzmo, but sometimes the Ben Ish Chai himself does ha-chashar ha-chalik b'din Svek Sveika, b'in fe'echad l'rova negin dad Maran, b'in k'shnei Sveiko negin dad Maran, siyem mi'u l'dad Maran ha-chidai, efshar ha-chalik b'zeh, ki matzanu, Good. So now let's review the methodological issues that went into this tshuva, okay? So one, right? One is, we're faced with the reality now that Ashkenazim and Sephardim are living together. So, this often creates a problem because, unlike in the past where Ashkenazim are doing their own thing, Sephardim do their own thing, suddenly you have to deal with the reality that you're living together. So now, that means that sometimes your rules of Psak might come into conflict with your conviction that Halach has to be livable, which is what happened here, because right, Rav Avadya has two basic assumptions running through his Psak. One is that Sephardim have to paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. On the other hand, Halach has to be livable. In this case, because Ashkenazim aren't giving in and are passing like the Ramah, if you pass on the Beis Yosef, what happens? Halacha is not livable, so we're him. So what does he do? He comes up with Svek Sveika. Now what's the problem with the Svek Sveika is both sides of the Safek are against Maran. And there's reason to believe that if you really think, now, if you go back to our rule, when can you start using the rules of Sveikos? Pashtos, Misvara. When could you use Sveikos? Or when can you apply rules of Shas HaTchak? When?
It's actually unclear.
When is it actually unclear? But if you think that anything that Shulchan Aruch says is clear, then is this a Svek Sveik at all? No. So what's the methodological chiddush that he comes up with? No. There's two different rules, right? In fact, the rules of Svek Sveika allow us to bring back to life Shitos when necessary, that are actually rejected, which by his standards they actually are. Right? Now, he's not comfortable with it always, right? It's clear that what he quotes from the Ben Ish Chai also is that the Ben Ish Chai sometimes says you don't use Svek Sveka Keneged Maran, and sometimes you do. Bimili Macherot, right? If we talk about Psikat al Chabashat Atchak, what is Psikat al Chabashat Atchak? The conviction that there are certain external factors that can push on a given halachic decision tell you that the standards used in one case are not the standards used in the other. So while normally, Rebbe Avadya, normally, Ben Ish Chai, the Chida, would not paskin Svek Sveka even neged Maran, right? Because at some level the Shittas are dead, right? Svek Sveka is a way of creating a kula when there is a Shas HaTchak. Good. Now, parenthetically, the Ashkenaz Svard thing, right? Besides for coming up with a kula, what's the other way you can solve it? Well, no, that's one way of doing it. That's effectively what happened here. What's the easier way of doing it? Having Ashkenazim who are willing to be machmir like the Svardim for the sake of the Svardim. And that would have been a very smooth, easy way of doing things. Right? Don't think Rav Avadya didn't think of that one. He did. If you look at the next one, this is a sikum from a shir by Rav Avadya. What? No, but you can try. That's what Rav Avadya did. He said, this is the shir that he gave. And So what was first solution? Right. Besides for his halakhic solution, he had two practical solutions. One is create Svardi Kashrus, right? Which is another way, right? You always have to remember this. In Psak, right? There are two very effective ways of getting what you want in halakha. Right? One is being a very good theoretician, right? The other one is being extremely pragmatic, right? A good posik is both. So Ravadi is both, right? He recognizes that not totally are we going to be able to get to this point. So he comes up with an akula that relies on Shas HaTchak and comes with the kula. But the better way of doing things is being pragmatic and circumventing it. And you should never forget that, right? Psak is about, is as much about implementation as it is about theory. Right, if you can come up with a very practical, non-controversial way of circumventing the problem, you know, Ashrecha v'tov lecha, right? So first he comes with the kula. He also sets up his own kashrus organization, and there's a third thing he does, which is, what's the last thing you can do? Well, not quite, but he insults the Charedim, right? But close enough, it's Rav Avadya, whatever. Umasha Diva Maran Shlita Vashiro, Shabadashi the Chared Asushalok Adin, Humishum Jame Tsiko Atsamam Karechet Kashud Muderit Ma'od, Vimgen Adivahim Achmir Bidin Vishula Gaim Bidah Maran Shulchan Aruch, right? And by the way, don't call yourselves Mahadrin for your Kashras. I don't care if you're the Eda Charedis, I don't care if you call it Mahadrin, it's not Mahadrin because you're not Paskaning like Maran. You would think. But who knows? But despite that fact, now, it did at some point win, parenthetically, right? That's what it says. At some point, the Badats did change their mind. It did eventually convince them. Don't worry. It did eventually, right? It was Maran Shlita Bidvarav. Right? So eventually, it did work, right? So eventually, the combination of setting up his own contrast organization and reasonably talking to the Ashkenazim, trying to get them to give in, right, in fact, worked. So, here's what I remember, there's, right, the existence of Ashkenazim and Sephardim together, while it may lead to creative halachic positions, can also just as easily circumvent halachic problems by being pragmatic and figuring out ways of getting along. But this is just as much a part of the halachic process as anything else, is being reasonable, right? I know this is like a foreign idea, but it's an important point to make in methodology of Psak, yeah. That would be a highly cynical way of doing it. I was just going to say, but, you know, who knows? You know, look, if we could trade the Chumra Be'Vishal Akam for Kitniyot, you know, it'd be wonderful, but it's not happening. Okay, now just to show you that this wasn't so obvious, right, as I mentioned, right, this methodology of doing Svek Svek against Maran assumes that that the Shita of the Beis Yosef is not actually totally closed, right? It's closed, just not closed when I really need it to be open, right? This, Rishon Masas challenged, because he said, no, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you think that we possibly base Yosef always, and that is Miktoras Vadai, and it's not a Svekzveka, because it's two Svekos which are closed. And that's what he says here. No Savazesh, I say go to Suge Svekot Negin Maran, Kulamon Demobus Israelua. He said, people say you can't do that, right? Even if they say, you know, you've got a Svek Sveka, where one of them is a suffix about what Beis Yosef holds, or Beis Yosef doesn't weigh on it, and the other one is Neged Maran, fine. But two Svekos that are both closed issues, because the Beis Yosef Paskin one way, you can't do it. It would fry him in the dungeon. Maran's also over the head, you lost her. Below Chash the Svek Sveka, right? And here, too, he said more than that. The Beis Yosef knew about this Svek Sveka. In fact, he quotes both sheets and rejects them. It's not like some Sveka you came, Svek Sveka you came up with. Beis Yosef knew about it and rejected it. Right? Havada, the inland is Samkhul, so Neged Maran, she's going to Radava, feel Neged Elif Poskim. So if the rock on the Shema, the Mishneh, Lo says, I'm come out of here, I didn't know, I got sure that holds him, and then he quotes this case of Bishlakum. Okay. Now, so that's a few points on Ashkenaz Sfarad, right? Both on, right, how it works in Psaq, how it creates situations of Shaz HaTchak, potential uses of Svek Sveka to solve the problems, and the sort of, what should be obvious point that one of the ways of solving halakhic problems is circumventing them, which is just as much a part of Psaq as anything else. Right? Remember, part of Rebbe Avadya's conviction that Bikshamachser Torah Leoshna is what drove him to create organizations that could rival the Ashkenazi ones. Now, a few more points now just on the Svek Sveka, on the Svekos issue. So, Rebbe Avadya, we know, is the master of Svek Sveka and uses it all the time to come up with the kulas. How often do Ashkenazi poskim use Svek Sveka?
Rarely.
How would you know? I don't know. You take my advice. If you had taken my advice and read 10,000 Shuvot, so Kachava, you would have seen that it doesn't come up nearly as much. It comes up more, by just guessing, I'll say it comes up more in Rebbe Avadya Utalmidav than does in all Ashkenazi Poskim who have lived in the last 300 years combined. It's just a random guess. I don't know if it's true, but I'll guess. Why don't we rely on Svek Sveka? So, next source, Shach, your dad.
Shach said you can't just make up Svek Sveka.
Right? Exactly. The Shach has something called Klalei Svek Sveka, which is exactly what it sounds like.
No more Svek Svekas.
Well, yes. And he says, so in Sif Lamed Hey, he says, the Makom Shish Svek Sveka Gomor, Enter Klalei Svek Sveka, Abba Vishish Levara Israel Yidaviga, go on Israel, right? If there's a Svek Sveka, so then you don't even have to check. Fine, Lamed Vav. I don't know why I put Lamed Hey. I didn't mean to. Fine. Dine Svek Sveka, Amukim, Rechavim, Minayam, V'Yidvayim, Kalam, V'Nyanim, Harbe. Svek Sveka, very hard sugya. Very, very hard. Inyano Shalzeh, Lo Kinyano Shalzeh, and they're not like each other. V'Gam, V'Dabar, Kal, V'Dak, Yish, La'Frish, Ben Zelazeh. And there's always Chilukim. Right? We're all good briskers. We can explain why any Svek Sveka case is not like any other Svek Sveka case. Al Karach. So we can't make up any Svek Sveka, or Svek Drabban Lachel, or any Svek Drabban Lachel, ever. Unless it's the ones that have already been poskin by poskim. Before the Shach, you could use Svek Sveka, afterwards you can't. It's all over. You can't use Svek Drabban Lakula. And I remember Rav Dani once asked Rav Yatz, who's the master of modern Psaq, how many times has a modern posik ever used Svek Drabban Lakula? Ever. And Rav Yatz could not think of a single instance when it was ever used by any modern posik. Not once. And I'm sure he could if he said that more, but like offhand, he couldn't think of one that stood out. So, the Shach, right, closes it off, right? You have Rav Avadya, one man who says uses Svek Sveka even against his established rules of Psaq, and on the other side you have the Shach who says Svek Sveka is hard. Stop. Any Svek Sveka that isn't already established in Psaq is wrong, right, or cannot be used, right? Now, yes, Matthew.
Though the Shach I wouldn't elaborate anyway, at least from what we're seeing, the Shach seems to be talking about
on the cases of Sfeik as in loving a Sfeik within a case. Ravadi seems to be using Sfeik as in Sfeik is divine as Sfeik as a poskim.
So, Ravadi also uses Sfeik in a way that no one else does. No, I mean, there is such a thing as a Sfeik Sfeik Emsach.
Even Sfeik Bechad or Sfeik Rabbanan HaHakel. As in, is Machlok as opposed to considered Sfeik, such as Sfeik Rabbanan HaHakel?
Probably. Right. At some level. Now.
But no Ashkenazim ever say that. As another, that,
you know. So, this is the thing. They do. Right? The Shach sets out a rule that really we don't ever use any Sfeik Sfeik. Now, Ravadi's use of Sfeik Sfeik is very ambitious, right? And some people really do think we paskin like the Shach. Ray Miller, I think, told his shir that we really paskin like the Shach. We don't ever use Sfeik Sfeik. This is not Rov HaPoskim. Rov HaPoskim really do use Sfeik Sfeik. Not the way Ravadi does, which is there's some Shita Tchuya here and some Shita Tchuya there. But if there's a real Machlokas, right, two real Machlokot, right, that's called a Sfeik Sfeik Bedin, right? There's a Sfeik, right? Each one is a Sfeik Adina, and two of them is a Sfeik Sfeik Adina, right? There are Sfeik Sfeik and Matthias, and there's Sfeik Sfeik and Din. Now, one of the column of the Shach's Sfeik Sfeik is that you can't combine a Sfeik Bedin and a Sfeik B'Matthias, right? But you can combine two Sfeikas Bedin, right? What?
Why?
Because they're Mitam Echad, right? Meaning, if the Svar of Sfeik Sfeik is that it's really, really, really likely that it's mutter. So if they're the same type of suffix, so then they're mitzaref, right? If, you know, halachically, it's a smek sveka, right? 50% of post, you know, is going to say it's mutter for this reason, and another 50% of post is going to say it's mutter for that reason, it's very likely that it's mutter. But if it's one halachic question and then one mitzias question, right, each of them is dealt with independently, right? They're not on the same level.
But practically speaking, it is.
Yes. Yes. Now, the Shach establishes a rule that you can't be mitzaref, a suffix echad bedin, a suffix echad. The halacha, do we paskin like that Shach?
No.
What? Anyone here forget any night of Sfira?
We all went tomorrow.
Good. What's the halacha if someone? How do we paskin? What's the halacha if someone forgets to count one night? Right. What happens if someone is not sure whether he forgot to count? How do we paskin? They continue counting with a bracha. Why? Sfeik Sfeika, that's the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Mishnah Berurah, I mean, it's earlier post, Mishnah Berurah quotes it's Sfeik Sfeika. What type of Sfeik Sfeika is it? Sfeik Echa B'dim, Sfeik Echa B'metzias, right? Which means, you should always be wary, right? If you want my general rule, I know I don't give you general rules, so I'm going to give you my general rule. My general rule is there are no general rules, right? The Shach tells you that we don't invent new Sfeik Sfeikas. He also tells you they don't have a Sfeik Sfeika, Sfeik Echa B'dim, Sfeik Echa B'metzias. Problem is, people do use Sfeik Sfeikos, and we do use Sfeik Echa B'dim Sfeik B'metzias. When we use it, it's very difficult, right? And if you remember, we set up the basic parameters of how to think about these things in general, which is the more of a counter pressure, the more of a kula you can rely on. The less counter pressure, the less of a kula you rely on, right? The more convinced you have to be of the psak. Which means, when are people going to use Sfeik Sfeika? They need to use Sfeik Sfeika. Rely on it. If there's no reason to use Sfeik Sfeika, they're probably more likely to be machmor like the Shach and not use Sfeik Sfeika. Right? It's pretty predictable. Right? It's a sliding scale. Ravadi uses it much more than most poskim. Most poskim use it on a sliding scale. If they need Sfeik Sfeika, right? Sfeik Sfeika, they don't agree with the Shach, that it's literally just closed off. And they don't follow every rule of this Shach Sfeik Sfeika in reality. They use it when it's necessary, right? And they actually think that it's mutter because of the preponderance of evidence, right? It's mutter. Okay, just parenthetically on the Ashkenaz Sfarad thing, the same Shaila came to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, whether you were Sfaradi was allowed to eat it in the calf at YU. He came up with another Heter Mishum Eva, because if you look in the next source, the Ramah says, the Yishomrim the Mishan Nishar Vapasha of Kochavim, Hochem Chem Shein Nishar and Mutter Lechoy Maim, Mishum Eva Kutata. If you're Machbet only to have Pas Yisrael and other people aren't, so you're allowed to eat with them because of Eva. But despite the fact that you can't learn into Shari Surin, Raran Salvechik did extend it to Pas, which is another way of just talking about the fact that there is a actual counter pressure here, which is if you make that division between Ashkenaz and Sephardim, it creates separation.
Do we use Mishum Eva between Jews?
It's a Kiddush, but the Ramah does here, so. We can talk about that some other time. Yeah, Eva. Okay, one last tshuva, because this more directly deals. This is the Rav. you know, if you want one person who just lays out a different vision of how sfeikos work in facts, I give you one juvia by Moshe. It says, now, if you remember, we mentioned this in Shasat Chak. We first that what shitas can you not use even in Shasat Chak? Shitas that are totally rejected. And one of the questions is, what is considered totally rejected? So if you remember, Moshe's formulation is this formulation, that if it's rejected by all haposkim ha-mefursamim, which is a judgment call, then it isn't even ole into a suffix because that is called a closed issue. But basically, Rav Moshe's method is, as we mentioned, and this is how I think most poskim do it, is that if it's a closed issue, you can't use it in a cheshbon of Shasat Chak or Sfek Sveika. If it's an open issue, right, then you can normally paskin one way and Shasat Chak paskin a different way. I think it's a relative term, and it needs an Ein L'dayan Ela Mashe Ein Avros. That's the rule in Psak, is Ein L'dayan Ela Mashe Ein Avros, right, is you need to judge it for yourself. He has this category, a poskimam before summon. What does that mean, right? But the basic methodology you see, right? Something which is closed, you can't be misarched to a Sfek Sveika, you can't use B'shazat Chak. Something which is open, you can. V'chal engol shi shavos loss of Sfek, and he said, not all shitos are the same. V'chazinen me'abas yoshev, yukhiv barapam rakshal shitos leilach basar arov. Right? Because he looked, what's his raya? Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch knows there's a million positions out there, but he paskins based on the rove of three, Arif Aram Barash. Sort of. Ashlam of Yadi Gamshi is called Rabbi Usina by a Tose, who do them be Oter, get the cause of Alayana Ramban back, then let you in the Garmi, Oda Bigidolik, Olam Midoras Hakod Mim, Harmon Lefan of the Isa Tam, back to Mosul, Lufi, Mashwaz Dvav, Shkoz Reizi, Shimbal Lomar, Shinakriya, Din Bin Aboskim, Tanod, Rayot, Tamudio, Hine to the religion Ramban, Rajba, Ran Milayim, Tanod, Rayot, the Kalakami at the Od, Umize, Shay Arav, Libola, Gesil, Sif Tanod, Rayot. We saw this in Beis Yosef, that the reason he picked these three is because so much has been written, you had to pick something, and this is how he picked it. What do you see from the Beis Yosef methodology? That not all shitas are equal. Just because there's a shita out there, you can't even start to Sfek Sveika. Rama Paragalav, the Rama expanded it. He said that even the people who aren't writing Psak, we can count them. But even the Ramah, though, expanded the Shitos, he didn't count everybody. And therefore, since this Shita is completely rejected, you can't bring it into Psak. So, to quickly summarize, right, Sephardi Ashkenazi issues, we faced a new issue because really Ashkenazi and Sephardi living together, what that creates for the first time is basically the way it develops is, for the first time, having two communities really recognizing each other's stature within the community, which leads, first of all, to a Shasat Chak, like you see, which can lead to kulos either of the type of Ravan Salvechik, straight up Eva Heter, which is an expansion of the Eva Heter, or like Revavadia, which pushes him to do a Sfek Sveika. The question, and the other thing you can do is pragmatically, is build your own conscious organization, your own institutions, or convince other people to agree with you, which is what Revavadia did. The problem with the Sfek Sveika issue is, as we said, the Shach really pushed against all Sfek Sveikas. Revavadia uses it all the time. But the problem is, when things are actually closed, you can't use Sfek Sveika, right? There's a sliding scale. The more open a Shaila is, and the more there is a counter pressure, the more you can rely on shitos that are not normally paskin. Like if something's totally closed, you can't. This is like Shalom Masas' critique of Ravadia, is that if we think the Beis Yosef is the only posik, then we really have closed that issue. But even in Ramosha, that's what you see, is that if something's totally closed, you can't rely. And if it's open, you can, not the way Ravadia does, but basically that's how poskim do it. Ein L'dayan Ela Mashe Ein Avros. Right, they look. If something's closed, you can. If it's open, which is up to your call, then you can rely on it when you can, when you need to, and when you need to again, it's something that's subject to poskim. Tov, mincha. Thank you, Ariel, for this. I don't know how to use it, but...